Just now, when you started praying, even while Pastor Joshua was leading and before I came and after we came, did any of you open your spiritual eyes to see what was going on? Or your sense of what was going on? Anybody? I'm not talking about an open vision or a necessary operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but our spirit should be sensing things all the time. As much as our physical body is having external stimuli all the time. So I'm interested in what you have been sensing, even over the past 25 minutes. Anybody sense anything? Pastor Joshua? Throughout the 25 minutes, what was going on and all the things that were taking place? You were just praying. No. Anybody else? Yes? Okay. Anybody else? Yes?
I think it was like, before I saw,
okay. Anybody else? Anybody want to try?
I feel as though we were being like marching with Joshua.
Marching with Joshua to Canaan land. Okay. Host in the heavenly. Thank you. Now this is going to be part of what we are doing today. So, one was the chains broken, correct? Chains broken. And another one was the whirlpool. Going higher and higher. And it seems to reach a certain realm. When you say singing in tongues, it broke into a certain realm. And three is Joshua marching. Different Joshua, the one in the Bible. Marching in the land of Canaan. And then there were things broken in the higher places. Anybody else want to give a try? We marching with Joshua. Okay. Joshua plus S. Yes? Right? Spirit man ascend. Spirit man ascend. Plus groaning. Groaning. Anybody else? Are you lifting up your hand? No. Okay. Anybody else? See, we are spirit beings. We need to sense what's going on in the spirit all the time. Now, that's the next thing. Was there a difference between yesterday's 9 to 9.30 prayer and today's 9 to 9.25 prayer? Unanimous? With some extension? What was the difference? More aggressive yesterday. Today or today? Wait. Today is aggressive. So what was yesterday? Timid. Okay. Let's do the difference between yesterday and today. Yesterday was more worship, is that right? Today was more aggressive. Is that the word you like? Aggressive, okay. Warfare, whatever you call it, fighting. What other differences were there? These are real things that you're going to face outside all the time in your church. And these are the same things that cause your church service to be different every time, and why your preaching can be different every time. And we need to know these things that are happening in order to maintain a constant ability to minister in the Spirit. All our ministry is in the Spirit. Any other differences? Today's atmosphere is darker. Yesterday was lighter. Okay. Lighter. Today is heavier. Heavier. Too much breakfast. No. Anything else? Yes. And yesterday, a lot of zeal. Okay. Yesterday was easy. Today was difficult and tired. Do you know I know all these things? Which is why I wanted you to analyze what's happening. I mean, we could just come, preach, teach, correct? But I don't do things just in the natural. I'm constantly aware of what's going on in the Spirit all the time. Although I do not communicate it, but I'm aware. If I don't communicate all these things, some of you may have seen some of these things and you put it off. But I need to make you aware of what's going on in the Spirit, which is part of the Bible school training. I mean, we could just go on to teach, correct? We could just share a simple sermon. But there is something that we need to know. I never want to minister until I sense certain things. And what you are all sensing is correct. If you had your spiritual eyes open, you would have seen that the picture is almost like that. You know how in warfare, there are times when there are enemy troops that you fire upon. Whoever fire on who. When you started praying in tongues this morning, even without me, you were shooting at the enemy. You have aroused the enemy. When Pastor Joshua passed the mic to me, the shooting had not ended. Although some of you would come down. People say the tongue slow down or finish or go up. Some of it depend more on each other or on the leader than on their sensing. If you are the leader, you need to be sensitive and don't let it go. Because sometimes they're letting go is they're feeling tired and heavy and they cannot press through. I never want to minister in a heavy atmosphere. It's a lot. And what was happening was you had stirred up the enemy. They were dark forces. I mean, they may not be geographically in the position I was saying, but that was what my sensing was. Over in that direction. Right? It may be further back outside this building. Right? Over in that direction. Or I didn't say it from this side, but I'm just saying what I sense. Now, all these are going on without the gift of the Holy Spirit. These are all normal perceptions of our spirit man that is training God. We're not even talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit yet. The difference between a spirit man that is grown and a spiritual baby is this. Spiritual babies are not aware of their environment except they are aware of their own needs. Food, hunger, or discomfort. But spiritual adults are aware of their environment. And so there was a dark force, some demon powers that you all had fired upon. And they wanted to make things difficult for you. There was some darkness. As I was walking up the steps, I really felt it. Yesterday when I walked up the steps, I felt that presence of God. Today as I walk up the stairs, I felt a darkness. Not that you all were in darkness, but you all had raided the enemy. And when I took over from Pastor Joshua, it was still not finished yet. If I continue, I went ahead with me, although we all, your tongues went down, and you all literally stopped praying in tongues, because the leader told now. And yet, I knew in my spirit, it's still not finished. That darkness is still there. By that, I don't mean he's here sitting next to you. And he could be a spiritual distance, but he's throwing his cannons at you. And I could continue ministering, and once in a while, some of you will be hit by funny thoughts, which will be a different atmosphere for when the ministry is going on and you receive more things from God. These are all real things. These are not imagination. The fact that we are not imagination is, why is it that 1, 2, 3, 4 different people are receiving in a different way? Correct? This is not something subjective. It's something real, but we are sensing it differently based on, remember, Hupo Manesho, how our background is. Okay? Sister Mash, Mrs. Nora Mash, say, sense basically a spiritual battle going on. We are with Joshua marching into the land of Canaan, fighting, and we punch through. And hey, sends this chains broken. he may not have sent Joshua going into the land of Canaan, but it was the same message. Correct? Same message. Doesn't this sound like interpretation of tongues kind of thing? Different vocabulary. One person said, you know, a little child interpret a message. Don't be scared! Don't be scared! Be brave! The professor says, the Lord will desire that you have no phobias of any kind. A normal person said, do not be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you. Are these the same messages? Yes, given in different vocabulary. Now it's the same thing. You are perceiving the correct thing in your own experience. A whirlpool getting higher and higher, the end result breakthrough. Correct. When I took over from Joshua, it was still there. The battle was not over. And so I persist in praying and praying and praying until I sense it broken. It's different. They're no more around. The angels are standing around now. Earlier on, the angels had their swords drawn and they were still fighting, and the angels depend on our prayer, and they stop. Now they have all been driven away. When you shoot at the enemy, you must make sure you can eliminate them. Correct? You don't shoot enough to irritate them and then go to sleep. Whenever you pray in the evening, you don't pray halfway. When you pray, make sure you can pray right through. Many people enter in a prayer closet and they pray halfway, you know, and they say, oh, time to sleep. No way. When you move in the spirit, time is not real. There is no time in the spirit realm. You either finish something or you don't do something. And when you do it halfway, you get all kinds of battle dreams. You either pray through or you don't start praying at all. Now that sounds very radical. Don't pray rather than pray through. But the reason why is that if you don't pray through and you just start a little bit, you just shoot a few cannons at the enemy enough to irritate them. Then you go to sleep and you left a very irritated enemy who was not disturbing you. I mean, Satan and his demons are not omnipresent. They got a lot of other things to do. better than disturbing a child of God and a man or woman of God. But then you are irritating them. Boom, boom, boom. And who's this guy? And then you go to sleep, you snore. And the demons all come and do all kinds of things. You either do it all the way or don't do it at all. And so, when you start praying in the morning, it's the same way. Irrespective of time, once you start doing something in the spirit, complete it. Pray until you sense in your spirit, here's where you're sensing it, that it's done. If you could see with the eyes of your spirit, you could have seen what was happening and there was a completion. That is there. And all this sensing is correct. Yesterday, there was no demonic interference. Today, there was. In your church, in your prayer meeting, in your teaching, in your home fellowship, from day to day, it's a different thing. Week to week, it's a different thing. And we need to learn how to maintain things in season and out of season. Be sensitive to what's going on in the spirit, for we do not walk in the flesh, but we walk in the spirit. To walk in the spirit, we need to be aware of what's constantly going on in the spirit world. He said, why don't you drive them away completely and they never return again? A part of this life is like that. It's just like when they drive away all the illegal squatters, the illegal squatters will find another place to squat. The only possible way is to take them all and lock them up somewhere, and that's the end of them. The fact is that it's not time to lock up all the demons yet. So they will be constant nomads wandering from place to place. Once in a while, they have an idea trying to come back again. Demons have real personality. They are actual beings with different personalities. And so it makes life different. This planet is now inhabited not only by about 4.5 billion human beings, but probably by several billion demons too. It's kind of crowded on this planet now. And, of course, several multi-billion angels coming to and fro. It's kind of a crowded planet now. We need to understand what was going on. Worship, aggressive, lighter and heavier, which was true. Easier, difficult. All these things are real out there. And some days when you wake up, you find that the day is different. But whether it's what I call one of those days where it's lighter, or one of those days that are heavier, it may not be always caused by you. I was only joking when I said you all ate a heavier breakfast. I mean, if you do a survey, whatever you did today was the same yesterday, physically. You just came to school. I mean, it was not that yesterday all of you woke up at 4 a.m. and prayed before you came. Correct. You just came to school. I mean, there's a slight little difference. Eh? But you didn't purposely eat a very heavy breakfast today. Physically, things were basically the same. It is the spiritual changes that were taking place from day to day. Tomorrow may be a different atmosphere. And we need to understand what's going on in our spirit. Every Sunday in your church is different. Be aware of what's going on. Sometimes it's different from year to year, and you need to know how to respond. And I remember when we moved into our present premises years ago, about 6 years ago, I sensed a heavy artillery lineup of the enemy. And so I called my church to a 70-day fast. And we fasted right through. Now I live basically a fasted life, and it's just like you reach a stage where you're seeing the worst of the enemy and there's nothing else that surprises you. And you sort of know how to maintain. We're all training. I feel like a general training more captains and generals to be. I've seen many battles, many die, many give up. But you reach a point where you've seen it all. And I need to help you all to understand, as some of you are new to this battle, that in this battle, you need to have all your satellite communications in order. You're going to fight a Gulf War with Saddam Hussein in a spiritual sense. Make sure all your things are in order. All your lineup. Communication between your Navy, your Army, and your Air Force. And you need to know the strengths and weaknesses of your enemy. And understand the battles that are going on from time to time. We will win the war, but we need a steady hand to guide the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same way, some of you are beginning to taste that battle. This morning one is permitted by God as part of a lesson that God wants me to teach on, related to what we are going to do. Some things are learning lessons, and the Lord has told me this ahead of time. And that's why it's part of the whole teaching that we need to be aware of. And so be aware of all these things. You may be sensing it differently, you may see it differently, but what are the basic things that summarize that we need to be aware of? One, your spirit man. Your spirit man must be activated and be constantly receiving stimuli from the spiritual world. Just as your natural man receives natural stimuli. Stimuli means whatever you have through your five senses. I mean, what happens if you have no external stimuli in the physical world? Somebody walks past you, say hello, you never hear them. Waves at you, never hear them. Sits next to you, doesn't know them. And you sit on someone thinking they say it's empty. No, we all react physically to physical stimuli. Correct. If suddenly we have a lot of visitors that take up half the space, you begin to react physically and relocate your favorite position. We react to physical stimuli and we react accordingly. When you drive, you've got to be aware of what's going on around you. So our spirit man must be constantly aware of spiritual stimuli. Our spiritual environment, and be aware of all those things. And don't. It looks like your imagination, it looks like things you make up, but we've got to grow to differentiate all those things. Nothing happens without a cause and effect, spiritual or natural. So next time, keep your spirit man open when you go to a supermarket, when you go to a certain place. Keep your spirit man open all the time and sense what's going on. When you go to attend meetings, sense what's going on. Don't be deceived by just natural things or things that are going on. I mean, let's say that just now I took over from Pastor Joshua. Doesn't it look like a good time to close? Everybody has stopped praying, correct? Our prayer have slowed down, correct? At the point that Pastor Joshua passed it to me, you all were ready to quit praying. But that was not what it should be in the spirit world. So we need to be sensing what's the correct thing to do all the time. Now this is what we need to be doing. Let's say, in whatever you're doing, let's say you're worshipping, you're leading worship. You must be aware of what's going on in the spirit world. You must not just look at your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 songs. We are not in a presentation. This is not a natural choir singing. We are making impact and waves in the spirit world. Which is what I have told choir members long ago. I said, when you lead from your heart, don't have something in front of you. Do it without notes, just like we preach without notes. It's different. It takes some people to reach the standard. You do it without notes. Say, what happened? I don't know the wording. If you don't know, then don't know. Don't sing that part. Or replace it with something nice. Which is what sometimes I do. Sing whatever. Doesn't matter if you don't know the words. Fully. Sometimes it just comes to you. And sometimes you just sing the tune and somebody in the congregation know the words, slowly you catch it from them. It is important to understand. Let's say if you're worshipping. When I'm leading worship, I'm not just thinking about the songs I'm going to sing next. That is part of the natural thing. You want to connect correctly. You want to link correctly. You want to have a flow, the right chords, everything. All these are natural and important. the right song and the right way to start, whether start with the chorus or stanza. But what is important is how you're affecting the spirit realm. What's happening in the spirit. And sometimes when you read, you sense heavier. Hey, can you see those demons out there shooting cannonballs at you? What are you going to do? Keep to your notes. I could have kept to my notes. I could be a normal lecturer and come and keep to my notes today. Amen. And just stop right now, and when the thing is fast, and just say a simple prayer. All these are normal things that we always do, and we get into a rut and forgot that we are living beings pulsating the spirit world, not just a religious order. So we have to be sensitive of our environment. Let's say you're leading worship, and you sense they're aggressive. What must you do? Let the tongue flow. Let some spiritual battle go on. Or sing some aggressive song, or warfare. It's important. Different songs. Today we sang the song at the end of the prayer because I felt that was the right song to sing. Of course, the songs that I can sing will also and have an impression on will depend on the number of songs I know. Yesterday we sang "He is my everything." Isn't that right? Today we sing "The Lord our God reigns." Hallelujah. Because that's appropriate here. It may be an old song, old tune. But the basic thing is, what are we getting at in the spirit? It's important to flow accordingly. Worship, and in your preaching, some of you are preaching, teaching home groups or whatever, you may keep prepared. These are all part of your discipline. But when your ministry sends, your spirit man must send the spiritual environment. There have been times when I've changed my messages. I know it just doesn't apply anymore. It was true when I prepared 1 week ago and expect a continuation, but things have changed in the spirit realm. Enemy forces have done differently. Remember, every country has to react according to the enemy. We may have a planned means of assault, but you discover that your enemy has made different strategies. You're playing chess with somebody, and you have a strategy to work out something. But as you're working, you realize that the enemy has a different plan from what you anticipated. What do? You react accordingly. In the same way, the enemy is not sitting still like a sitting duck. You're not fighting ducks. You're fighting demons who constantly try to strategize differently. They have their own war council. There are different ways that they plan to do different things. And after that they get defeated about 10 times the same way, do you think they're going to remain the same? And it's become a hobby for them to come and let you knock them on their head. No way. They will strategize. New plan, new evil scheme. Sometimes they use new people to come against you. People vulnerable. You need to understand what's going on in the spirit world. Be aware of the spiritual environment. Secondly, be aware of what's happening in heaven. And we are talking about God. What is God doing? But the contrast of that, what the enemy is doing. The devil, what he is doing. And so when I came in, the moment I stopped yesterday, as I was coming up the stairs, I felt this sweet atmosphere. What a sweet presence. Today, as I'm coming up the stairs halfway, as I climb up to where the flat part is, I could sense a heavy darkness. And so when I came in, the moment I stopped yesterday, as I was coming up the stairs, I felt this sweet atmosphere. What a sweet session. Today, as I'm coming up the stairs halfway, as I climb up to where the flat part is, I could sense a heavy darkness. The tongues that you all are praying still sound nice. Still sound nice. I love to hear people pray in tongues in a group. Still sound lovely. Nothing wrong with any one of you. Except that I could sense the enemy was trying to do something. To hinder, to distract. And somehow I sense in a deeper way that God had permitted that. Part of our lesson this morning. What happened? You are not sensitive to all these things. miss out a tremendous teaching opportunity. We will miss out something that God was designing for me. Of course, the devil is not as smart as God. And he doesn't even, not even aware. Just like he was not aware of the cross. And God is above that. We need to be aware of what God is doing. Be aware of what's going on in the spirit world. What's going on in heaven. Which is why we need to remain in the heavenly places. There's a lot of activity in heaven. A lot of activity. And anytime you want to sense it, as long as your prayer up, your spirit man is built up, you could sense it. Like right now, if you want to sense what is happening in heaven, you know, on this earth, and I could sense some sort of great light coming from God in the heavenly. And I could see the world, and Asia has a tremendous light that is coming forth into Asia, like a tremendous activity that's going on. That's why in the natural, it works out in the economic sense. And in America, there's a dark cloud, but it's being pushed back. By 1996, that cloud will be a pushback completely. And the 4 years that America was in judgment, as prophesied in 1992, that the Lord gave, 92, 93, 94, 95, will be completed by the end of 1995. South America, certain parts, have always been a tremendous open heaven. Because of some of the people of God over there. There is a gathering of dark forces now in the European faction for some reason. I don't understand what or everything. I'm just telling you what I see. You can be aware of what's going on in the spirit all the time. When God raises you up to the international ministry, you can sense what's going on internationally. Some of us cannot sense it yet. When God raises up you up to national ministry, you can sense what's going on internationally or nationally. When God raises you up to confront a city, you can sense what's going on in the city all the time. You know what's going on. And anything that happens, that can happen to our king, our prime minister, and this country, God tells me. And I pray. I remember two times at least, including the last Friday, I think it was last Friday or one of those occasions, that I said pray for the Prime Minister because there's something that's happening. Remember? In the newspaper, I haven't reported it yet, but God has told me from 2 years ago he's not in good health, and we must pray for him to have the strength to complete all that God designed for him to complete on this, in this nation, before the next one takes over. Some things that he must complete, and our prayers will help him complete what he needs to do for this nation. There are things that he could send. There are things that we know. We don't talk about them all the time. One of the things about the spirit world that we must be aware of, I'm only saying that because we're in a Bible school, is that we learn to keep secrets. The secrets of the Lord. If we are blabbermouths, God will not show you much thing. You can blab to the world. There are things that the Lord doesn't want the enemy to do, correct? A general will have secrets that the foot soldiers do not know. And you cannot tell the foot soldiers, because if you tell them, it will be broadcasted. One of the great difficulties in Colin Powell was fighting and leading the Gulf War against Saddam Hussein, was that everything was being reported on CNN. And Saddam Hussein was turned on to CNN. And this dumb journalist are asking, what are you going to do next? Yeah. What do you expect General Power to do? Tell you everything and you broadcast the Saddam Hussein? No? Correct? Yeah. Dumb. The enemy cannot read our minds. He only reads our actions. And the times when we tell it to somebody else and he's eavesdropping. Hello there. So we don't tell, we learn to keep secrets. And sometimes we tell, make sure there are no eavesdroppers of the enemy. You say, is there such a thing? Yes. The devil is not omnipresent, nor are his demons. Sometimes he's not around to hear, or sometimes he is. Only God hears everything. It's important to learn to keep secrets when you fight in a war. Son, you're going to rise up to be generals in God's army. You need to keep secrets. Secrets of God's strategy. Secrets of what's going on. And sometimes to the extent that the little soldiers do not understand, and you can't tell them. Because if you do, they're going to blab it and the whole strategy is false. What happens if David plans a certain attack for the enemy? One is a decoy, a diversion, and the other is a direct attack from the rear. And he tells it to every one of his soldiers. One of the soldiers goes around and says, "Hey, you know, that's only a decoy, you know." And word passes on. Sure, the enemy spies were here. And they were and mess all their best soldiers at the reverse, rather than send all their best away to the decoy. We need to learn to keep battle secrets. Secrets of the Lord. To know what's going on. Only to those at the same level when you have a general's meeting. We discuss general strategy. You share according to the level that people have been appointed in God. One day, sometimes people get offended. One day, I was talking about some move of God and they were being counseled by me and talking about different things and they were very negative and they talk as if I don't know some of those things and saying, "Oh, you don't know what God is doing," or all these things. At the end of the whole thing, they were leaving and said, "You don't really know me yet." That's all I could tell them. I can't tell them what I know. They only see this far. But I'm seeing here and includes what they are saying. But I can't tell. Because they're not in the position to receive. I know that 3 years later, they will see here. They will understand. And you need to be able to wait for them for 3 years. It is important to understand as we battle these little things like secrets. Remember, God did say He shared His secrets to the prophet. But why do we have to take it further and say then the prophet shared to us? Where is it in the Bible? Never. Did it say God shared His secrets to the prophet? But it never said the prophet is to share all His secrets with us. Some dumb prophet, if he does that, he will no more be a prophet. He will be a non-profit organization. It's important for us to understand secrets. There are secrets in your ministry, secrets of things. I'm not talking about keeping secrets or skills that can help another. I'm interested in teaching more generals and raising more people to fight the war. We need more people. We want to teach our skills. We want to teach what we know. To train each one of you to fight the war with us. We are all in the same battlefield. We are all in the same war. That Jesus Christ may reign in the hearts and lives of men and in every nation of the world. Whatever your ministry, whatever your church, whatever your organization, we are in the same war. And we want to help to fight that war. That's what the Bible school is for. Train us, equip us, and may God make some of you generals. First captain, then general. I don't know what's higher than general. Colonel. No. What is that? Commander-in-chief. Okay, whatever you want. That one cannot, we cannot take that role. Jesus is the commander-in-chief with the Holy Spirit. We cannot. That one, no one must take. No one must claim that. Praise God. All the assistant under him, no problem. But we cannot take that from Jesus. And of course, we can bear in mind that there are some secrets that the Father kept from Jesus. Ooh, some of you here. Father kept some secrets from Jesus. Yes. Remember the scripture? What he kept from Jesus? The day. Time of his coming. Now why? Part of that same thing. But Jesus is not going to tell and lose God's secret. That's not his character, correct? But there's something. When you grow close to Jesus, you become so one with him, you could literally
I'm not saying it in a wrong way, please understand. You could literally step on his mind. Hello there. Didn't the Bible say we have the mind of Christ? Our minds are linked to his mind. And in case some people grow so spiritual that their mind becomes so much like the mind of Christ and they tap on the secrets of the mind. That's it. They have a memorandum of understanding up there, the Trinity, how they work for protection. And then Jesus has some secrets that he doesn't tell us. And only the most spiritual may ascend to that realm and be able to tap on that. But even when they reach a stage where they can, they will probably have his character and they also won't tell. And then those under Jesus or close to Jesus, we can be prophets, apostles, or other fivefold ministry, may have something that they cannot tell others. And down the line, praise the Lord, the secret things of the Lord belong to him. It's the pleasure of the Lord to reveal it to whomsoever will. Now, of course, don't bring it to the extreme and say everything is a classified secret. Pastor, how do I receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit? It's a classified secret. How do I bring healing to all these people? It's a classified secret. Everything is a secret. It's wrong. There are some things that are secret. But the Lord enjoys revealing his secret to those who can. If the Lord could have it his way, he wants everyone to be generous. That is why you find scriptures in the Bible that encourage us to pursue the Lord so that he could reveal things to us. And so that's to encourage you to pursue the Lord. Some things we know we cannot tell you directly. We can only guide you indirectly. Until you reach a point where God tells you directly, then you come to us and say, is it like that, like that? You say, yes. What do you tell me? We can't. The master say cannot. That makes life interesting. Remember these points that we're going through now. These are related to John 16, what we are talking about. So we were not out of topic. We approached the whole thing differently. Now, can I take this out? This part and leave just that part. John 16, the worker gives. John chapter 16. Yes. Yes, a very, very quick question before they throw some stones at you. Yes. I'm just teasing you, alright? I'm sure they don't mind. And they are also teasing you, so don't get discouraged when they come and hunt down you between the breaks. Yes.
Okay,
so
that's the point here, to be
aware of what is happening in heaven, what God is doing, and what Jesus is doing.
Yes.
But
Satan is actually in the heavenly realm, but not in heaven with God. After Jesus came, he got no place in heaven, and the throne room, and he said, like Job's time.
Yes,
he's definitely not sitting
in
God's lap.
So what I mean is, Satan
can
no more
be
in God's presence.
Correct.
It's different from Job's time. Job is before Jesus came. It does not, and he has been sentenced. He's now a sentenced criminal, a lawless one. There's one more point that I may need to put there. I take it for granted that it's there, but just in case that we miss it as a point, what's going on in the Church of Jesus Christ? I'm talking about the worldwide Church of Jesus Christ, the organism of his body, of believers. Includes all organizations and all individuals who are born again, include all the fivefold ministries and all the servants of God. We must be aware of what's going on. Know what's going on in the Church of Jesus Christ throughout this country? You could sense it. If you will listen carefully and let your spirit ascend into that realm, you could sense it. That is why there is no such thing as God working just in one church, working in every church. Because sometimes I have to tell my own members, don't make our church as if we are the church. There's no such thing. And if you like the church, you may like the church, you may think it's the best place or best church in the city, and other people in other churches think that's the best church. I mean, there's a kind of loyalty there, but in the long run, we must educate people to realize that God is in every church where people love the Lord. And he is moving in some special ways in every place. These are some of the things that he's doing in every church. There is an increase in prayer in every church, and that is the will of God for the church right now in Malaysia. I mean, you may say that, oh, it's there for the whole world. Of course, in general. But there is an increase in the call and in the work of angels to get people into prayer, what I call corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. It's happening in denominations or not even born again, not born again, not baptized in the Spirit. Excuse me. Almost slip of the tongue there. Denominations, they are not baptized in the Spirit. It's happening in Catholic churches, Anglican churches, Methodist churches. It's happening in Pentecostal churches, Assemblies of God, and independent churches. You'll find they are more individuals. Because I can see it. I can see God sending angels to different lovely men and women of God. Some full-time, some not full-time. Some lay people who love the Lord so much. Telling them to start prayer meetings. People may not see, I see it happening. That's what's happening in all the churches. Some are responding, some are not. There is an increase in corporate prayer that's happening in our country that God is calling for. This is preparing us for something. There is an increase in wealth that He is giving to His people. The prophecy that we published in Glory News was not applicable just to our church. It was applicable throughout the church in the world, especially in Asia, where God is bringing wealth into the Asian churches. And those who are sensitive to it, who move into it, will prosper. I could see the angels of God going to businessmen all over Malaysia who are Christian, giving them ideas what to do to bring finances into their hands and then into the kingdom of God. Some are obedient and they're doing it right now. Some are not, they're still wondering whether those ideas come from God. So there are things that are happening in the church. The third thing that's happening is networking. Now this is a worldwide phenomenon. I don't know why, I keep always sensing that more the international scene. But let me focus on the national side. There's a networking of fivefold ministers and churches that is taking place that is part of God's will. It's happening. It will continue. The network part will continue right up to 2000 AD. They may be organized or may be not organized, but just spiritual organization. But that is the will of God, and it is already happening out there. Some pastors are resisting that and they want to be lone rangers. They'll pay the price for that in 2 to 3 years' time. But pastors who are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to network to each other will reap the benefits of that in 2 to 3 years' time. Some of the things that God is telling us to do right now, if you don't obey, you suffer it in 2 to 3 years' time. Not immediately. That's the grace of God. The sad thing is the disobedience now is not seen under 3 years' time. And the obedience now is not reaped under 3 years' time. And for us, we need to sense what is going on. Was there a question coming here?
What is the price of not using the network?
What is the price? Okay. Some of them will be attacked in ways that they have not been attacked before. The devil is forming a tremendous strategy. And he is going to cause men and women of God to fall to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Although these are age-old areas, but the lack of fellowship is going to prevent them from being protected and going to prevent them from having friends that will strengthen them in their weaknesses. It's good to have friends. I'm glad in our church we have powerful ministers, and among those that I move very closely is Paul Ang, and David and myself. We pray for one another very much. We are at a level. We are bringing more and more of our own faithful ministries in. We have our own fellowship of pastors at a different level. And and we're training different ministers out, but you need fellowship at your level. My network is not just what many people are talking about, just a superficial kind of network and say, hey, we're together, you know. It's a real spiritual kinship that you're developing. People of like-minded mind to you. You're already having that among one another as Bible students in God. And you find it can be refreshing. Helping one another. Strengthening one another. Because the devil has lined up attacks on people who are what I call scattered. They are loose. When he sees you clustered together, not necessarily in the same place, you can all be scattered, but the kind of bond that is so strong, it just bounces off the weapons of the enemy. So you see many of them fall in 2 to 3 years' time, and some of the people who are not aware of it now, what's going on, will begin to hear it and wonder what's happening. But we who are in the spirit, we already know what's happening 2 to 3 years before it happens. Praise the Lord. It's some of those things. Some of those things. Of course, there is a dimension of worship that God wants to move into, which we have successfully led our church into. Our church has specialized in worship. And through 2 years, throughout these 2 years, we have succeeded in moving our church more into praise, which the Lord wants. And now it's natural for our church to dance. I mean, we did dance before, but now it's more natural. There are more jumpy people around. It's like it's a part of us now. And as a leader, I've led the church into that realm. I've done it myself. I have to change myself, change my personality in order to bring the church in. And every church will have to move into that. Even Mahathir knows that the country needs a faster Negaraku. Correct. He changed it. And he actually changed. Faster Negaraku. Instead of it was not suitable. And now I'm still praying for the right theme song for our church. Our old theme song was about the fellowship and partnership of believers in music. I sense that we need one that's more militant. That's our theme song. Still hasn't come out yet. The Lord will give. Thank you, Lord. But we need to move. We need to flow on. My ministry has changed its logo now. We have now changed to the eagle. Some people have been the eagle long ago. But ours has changed. Now ours is an eagle. It's not just a world map with the thing coming out. We still have the world map, but now the world map is more the imprint. Tabernacle Glory hasn't changed its logo yet, but my ministry has changed. Lord says change. It's more aggressive. What is the significance of that? It's more aggressive. My preaching has changed. I'm more what you call dramatic than I was before. It was not because of showmanship. It became a natural change on my inside. That God, that allow God to change. We all need to change. If we don't change, in 3 years' time, we'll be left off. Praise the Lord. Yes. I'm seeing a lot of eager eyes looking at you now. Right.
What do you see changing or coming upon
this ego? I mean, not just the mission of being aggressive, but what do you see? Okay, thanks. The Lord said that in 1996 that we will move into a different phase. I'm preparing for that. The Lord has divided my ministries into different phases. I went to ministry in 1996. In 1986, the Lord Jesus appeared to me and changed my ministry. Next day, in 1996, another 10 years. He doesn't have to work 10 years and I don't bind him by that. But he did tell me that there will be a difference in 1996. I don't expect him I don't even make him obligated that he will have to have a special visitation or all that. But I'm prepared for whatever changes that he is going to bring and change me in 1996. See, if we know when God is scheduling you, you'll not be upset by what people say. You know when you're going. If you know you're scheduling in God, and I know I'm in the perfect will of God. I know our church is where the perfect will of God wants it to be. It is important to lead as a general and know where you're going. Praise God. These are some of the things, right? I can't give you everything. And in your individual churches, in your fellowship, there will be more specific things God wants you to do. Hallelujah. You have to listen to flow. Now, have we found John chapter 16? John 16. Before 2000 AD, some of the main leaders of this, main Christian leaders of Malaysia, who have been a blessing to many in the charismatic, Pentecostal, and in the denominational world, will be taken home. Because it's the will of God for the next generation to come up. They have completed their work. So one by one, you see them dying. Not because you want them to die, okay? Don't be cruel. Wrong attitude. Because they completed their work. Each of them have done their work. I know exactly who they are. But I won't tell you. Malaysia, and of course it also indirectly applies all over the world. Because my ministry reaches throughout the world. Praise God. It's also a general one for the world. Understand? Praise God. Hope you're not thinking a bishop dying. No, we're not talking about that. John chapter 16, please. Before we go too far, God have mercy. John chapter 16. And in verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in him, in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. First area that we want to look at is the area, although there are many sub-points here, area of conviction. I will convict the world of three things. And then he goes in detail describing the three things of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. Let me look at that from the interlinear. John 16 verse 13. John 16 verse 13. John 16 verse 13. But when he, as it may have come, he, the Spirit of truth, remind me, that's the 16, correct. He will guide you. Yes, it says that he will guide you into all truth. Not for he will speak from himself. He will not speak from himself. But whatever he may hear, he will speak. Now the word speak is the word laleso, which is different from the word lego that you learn in your Greek. Lalesai, he says, he will speak. And the things coming, he will announce to you. Anagelai. Anagelai. So there are two things here. The word tell, remember we say we researched the word tell. The first day we're talking about that. The word tell. The word tell is actually the word anagelai, which has been translated here as the word announce. Anagelai. Because it is from the root word angelos, which you all know very well what it means. Oops. That's That's how well used it is, yeah? Anagelai is ana plus angelai. And that's why you say it's like messenger announcing. And that brings up something, is it here? There are two words here. Oh, well, how did I start writing Greek here? And la less fly, let me romanize it. La less so. And together working with it is anagelai. But when you have two gamma together, it's always pronounced ng, alright? There will be no angelos. And here this word basically means to announce, like angel announcing. They will announce to you. But less so, it's a very friendly way of speaking. It's different from lego, I speak. But here, it's a kind of sharing, if I were to use the word. He will share with you. He will announce to you. Share and announce. I put them together. Then we have the next verse. He will glorify, verse 14, he will glorify me, for of mine he will receive. Receive is like Sedai, and will announce to you. And that's another one, another time that the word anagelai is used. This is used two times, and this is used two times in those three verses. If you don't read Greek, we wouldn't know all these things are happening, because all you have is the English translation, which sadly, for deep study, has its limitations. So looking at the English translation, and he will guide you into all truth in verse 13, for he will not speak, that is, you know, lalesai, on his own, but whatever he hears, it's a simple word, akuo, he will lalesai. He will anagelai you things to come, he will glorify me, for he will take away his mind and anagelai it to you. So the word tell and the word declare comes from the same Greek word, anagelai. Isn't it useful to know the Greek? And at least you can see that there's a reputation, although the English makes it like two different words. And when you look at it, you don't realize that it's the same Greek word. And again, I encourage you, pick up your Greek, pick up your Hebrew. When Pastor John Lowe is teaching you, put two picks under your eyelids if you're sleepy. But remember, if the lecturer, you know, does his best to share, and sometimes it's difficult, pick up all you can. Just remember why you got to know him. At least learn the basics. Learn to read and write Hebrew. Learn to read and write Greek, so you can have enough to go out and research when you graduate. Hello there. It's a lot. Just helping Pastor John Lowe a bit. Get you interested. And share and announce, each occurred twice. Apparently this, as we see here, is related to the worker gifts. The worker gifts. And how is it related? Remember that John 14, 15, 16 are keys to tell us how. From John 14, the key to Revelation gifts is the Greek word mene. So, in John 15, the key word to the word power is este. You have been with me. But the meaning of been is not what it is. It means being. You have a time of being with me. And you continue to be with me. And now, in the worker gifts, there is a key word. Let me look at the Greek word for the word convict. Yeah, and John 16, looking here at when he is ready to come, he will convict
Alexei. And having come here with Alexei, the world. And Alexei, ton kosmon. Alexei, the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. About sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. So there's another word there, Alexei, that it would do us good to look. I'm just Romanizing it, not writing it in Greek. On the word convict, if you look very carefully, Alexei, Laleso, Anagelai are all related. Now let me use a different color pen. Because it tells you how the worker gives work. It's our little cartoon again. And this looks like I can talk. The Alexei takes place inside your spirit man. The conviction. Here's the mouth of this big, huge fellow here. Oh, it doesn't look like a ghost. I can talk. And to make it look more friendly, give it some hair. Long ears. A nice earlobe. Okay. Big neck. Need fasting. Right. Nice t-shirt. Size triple XL. Now here's the mouth. The mouth has share and announce. And you see the process taking place. Of course, there is one word that we did not emphasize just now. It's akuo that is here. But more so is the hearing here. Now let me draw with a red arrow the process. The hearing comes from God. The process goes in. Of course it goes through here too. Into the spirit man. Builds up a conviction. Rises up from inside. Comes out in sharing and announcing. It gives us a picture of the working of the worker gifts. The working of the worker gifts. How the worker gifts can operate in our lives. There must be an abundance of this coming in, the hearing part. Of course, the hearing, the Holy Spirit hears and shares with us, and implying that when he shares it, we have the spiritual ears to hear. But there's a building up of the what I call a conviction. The sharing and the announcing is only the result of the conviction. So the word Alexei is an important avenue. Share and announce are only two ways you're doing it. Sharing implies privately, announcing implies publicly. Imply, not always true, but imply. And as you look at the whole process, when you actually operate in worker gifts, it is not your mind that is that important. It is the conviction. Isn't that interesting? You bypass your mind. If you ever try to go through your mind, it gets affected. Now let me use the black one to indicate what we have learned so far. The revelation gives, we know, the development of the mind is important. Understanding and sight, spiritual sight. In the development of the power gifts, it is also here where we emphasize what we call the presence of God inside, with a P. The development of the presence of God on your inside. And how this grows. Now,
in the vocal gift, it is also dealing with insight, but in a different realm. Because the word convict is qualified by three other sub-points. It's convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We know that the convict of sin is the world. Convict of judgment is Satan. But convict of righteousness is what? Look at it carefully. The righteousness applies in John 16, verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Who is he talking about? Christian, correct. It is, I will put generally, the church. Do you see that although it's in this dimension in the spirit man, it's different from what we studied yesterday? Because yesterday was more, if you want to use the word conviction just for comparison's sake, is more a conviction of the presence of God. It was more God in us. Correct? Now this conviction that is coming is more applying to external factors. The devil is definitely not inside you. And world and the church is, although we are a part of the church, but generally the church is a whole organism, spiritual organism of believers. It's more on the surrounding side. But it's here, it's more on the heavenly side. The earlier one, on the presence of God. It's more God in us. And now it seems to be what's happening in the world, judgment on Satan, and what's going on in the church, righteousness, always links up with deeds and works, fruit and works of righteousness. It's a different realm of conviction. And it's something that you sense. We're not sensing the presence of God as we were yesterday. Although we need to do that. But when the vocal gifts are operating, it is a conviction that when you speak up, can bring conviction of sin, can bring conviction of righteousness. What is right, what is wrong? Can bring conviction of judgment, declaring the things of the enemy and exposing it. It's a different realm. That is why prophecy has been used extensively by God to separate right from wrong. The spirit and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy as announced in the book of Revelation. The testimony of the Lord, the spirit of prophecy. So how do we deal? Remember, we are just interested in the how. How it develops in our life. And it is not to hear our head. Many people are trying to operate the vocal gift through their head. It doesn't operate that way. Over and over again, we have found in the Bible that even the gift of prophecy, let's look at the book of Peter, and see the how of its operation. And we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I'm interested to see what the Greek word for the word move is. 2 Peter chapter 1. Last word. 2 Peter 1. For not by the will of man was brought at any time prophecy,
But by the Spirit Holy, or Holy Spirit, being born spoke the Holy God, Holy Man of God. Okay, the word move is, it means, it's from the Greek word pheromenoi. Pheromenoi. Do you all know what pheromenoi came from? You all have learned it? Pharo, which means I bear or I bring. You remember that? Pharo, I bear or I bring. Phi, Epsilon, Rho, and Omega. Pharo. And Romanized as P-H-E-R-O. Now that word Pharo means I bear or I bring. Remember when you learn Greek, you use that word, you know, and you say, you talk about how you bring fruit, I bring fruit, and everything else. Now, the word move is not the normal word for move. See how lovely knowing the languages are? All you have to do is look and then you know. Hallelujah. Hope that keeps encouraging to learn Greek and Hebrew. Right? Praise God. Some of you should join Brother Liu more often. Right? He loves Greek and Hebrew. Oh, he's shaking his head now. Okay. He does. Okay. Yeah, but he's a philosopher. Now, chapter 1. chapter 1, verse 31. And it says here that the man of the holy man of God spoke, and using the word lalesai, same word lalesai. They spoke, being born or carried by the Spirit. They were carried by the Spirit, piggybacked by the Spirit. That's a different way of looking at the word move. The gift of prophecy, this is talking about the gift of prophecy as it was operating. That there was something carrying them, correct? That's a general idea. Something bigger than their mind, something bigger than their understanding, something exploding on their inside that brings conviction to of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because who has the authority and authority and right to judge and to convict? None of us. Jesus said, judge not and you will not be judged. None of us have that. We have only the obligation, the duty, and the debt of love that we owe to all. It therefore has to come differently, which is why we need to understand that judgment and all these things don't belong to us. Sometimes when the Spirit of God comes off, you release it and the conviction comes. You are carried by something. You're born, you're Pharaoh by something bigger than you. And that tells you a little bit of the how, the drama of how that prophecy comes. You must feel that. You must feel that. It is not just perceiving in the spirit. That's not a prophecy. A lot of so-called prophecy is not prophecy. They are perception. But a lot of people will disagree with me because my standard is that high. They classify every revelation to be a prophecy. Oh, I saw this thing in your life. I saw this animal, and I mean, this animal kingdom anointing. That's not a prophecy. That's a perception. How confusing people are. And what they are moving in is something that to me is normal. To them is special. Let's raise our standards. If it's a real prophecy, there will be an oom. Of course, we allow people to make mistakes. And people will come up to the front in church and they will prophesy. You know, I'll be sitting there. I know exactly whether it's from God or not. But I don't go around correcting people when it's a generally good prophecy.
when people go up and say, the Lord is good. The Lord desires to bless you. What should I correct the person for? Let me say something okay. Of course, if a person comes up and says, the Lord is now going to send judgment to three of you. In 4 days, you will die. He may find that I'm patting him on the shoulder and say, hey, brother. There's only one time in my church I have to do something like that. That was when brother, he came right down. That was many years ago. Some of you may have been around. He came and he was kneeling down. And he's really sincere. He's not trying to destroy me. He's really sincere. And he said, he come, first thing he says, Pastor, oh, Pastor Vera. And of course, I'm wondering what kind of prophecy he's calling me by name. And I'm saying, the Lord knows you're very burdened. Doesn't know me. Ask my family whether I'm burdened or not. In the heaviest of things, I'm very joyful. I've never been burdened. Yesterday, you know, the two New Zealanders came over after the thing and they came to see me. We just chat in the office a little while. And he says, you know, how do you carry all this ministry? I say, there's only one secret. S-U-N. He looks surprised for a while. Fun. I said, that's it. I find the ministry fun. I've never been burdened in my life. Now, I may have occasions where I weep. But that's part of what sometimes you carry and then you pray through. But what I'm talking about, the normal self. I enjoy life. I enjoy the ministry. I may weep sometimes when I feel the misunderstanding hurts the people and just cry out. And then I'm back to my normal self. I don't carry around, pilgrim's progress before you enter the gate. So he was there.
Possibly you're very bad.
Of course, you can make people very sympathetic to you. You can try to hunch your back a bit more. And, so your church people will say, oh, it's so true. Oh, let's help the pastor. And so you're saying, oh, and then he says, the Lord says, when you're thinking about this church building project, Vision Heights, the Lord says, it is hard, it is difficult, it is not His will. Right in front of all my congregation. Praise the Lord. I slowly walk up to him. And well, he was still talking some more things. I mean, and I pat him on the back. I didn't punch him. Pat him on the back. And I had a microphone and took it back and said, brother, you're wrong. I've never been burdened. And Vision Heights is the will of God. I know it in the core of my being. You know how that some things are difficult, people think it's not God's will? Because you're always going by circumstances. And you know what you're doing. But when you succeed, everyone will come and say, we knew it, you make it all the way. Sometimes God is humorous. My Chinese name ends with he. And praise the Lord, hallelujah. And so it was there, and I turned back and said, no, it's not wrong. You are wrong. I mean, he must have felt small. Publicly corrected. Public errors will be corrected publicly. That's my policy. And so he was, everyone was looking at him as he crawled back to his seat, corrected and chastised. And some of you remember it, and then our church usually at a point we go around and greet one another, and then we continue worshipping. We continue worshipping. Everyone pretend that nothing has happened, but everyone knows something has happened. And then during the get-together, I called him up again. I said, brother, can you come up? And then he came up. I put my hands around him and I hugged him and said, now, don't anyone of you come and run him down and correct him. Just come and love him, right? He's just he just loves the Lord and he just does this. And everyone went and some hugged him, and then we went around and then we got it all over with. That was the way we handled it. And praise the Lord. Talking about prophecy, there must be an oom. Sometimes when people prophesy, there's no oom. Guess what? It's their spirit man prophesying. It's more their spirit man perceiving. A real prophecy has an oom. And you know, I'm going to bring this reverence for God back into our life. Do you know what we are doing when we are prophesying? You're saying, "Thus saith the Lord." What happens if it's not the Lord said? You are lying. Hello there. Let's have more respect for God. You don't simply say, "Thus saith the Lord." We have taken God's name in vain. You have broken one of the Ten Commandments, "O thou sinner." And in the Old Testament, that deserves to be stoned. Hallelujah. It must be an oom when we prophesy. Now, a lot of personality things are involved when people want to move in the prophecy. Sometimes people want recognition. If you want recognition, don't do it that way. Sometimes we want attention. Sometimes we want to prove ourselves. If you want all those things, don't do it that way. It's the most dangerous way. It's important for us to respect God. And don't look to prophesy. I mean, I had no pleasure in giving a negative prophecy. I have no pleasure in trying to give a prophecy unless God really tells me. But sometimes something bigger than you carries you. I remember in 1992 in Singapore, in World Trade Center, remember that occasion? I could hardly preach. I prophesied for 1 hour. All kinds of things. I said things I don't understand. I have no pleasure in trying to give a prophecy unless God really tells me. But sometimes something bigger than you carries you. I remember in 1992 in Singapore, in World Trade Center, remember that occasion? I could hardly preach. I prophesied for 1 hour. All kinds of things. I said things I don't understand. It was too strong it was coming for. And sometimes, I remember in Penang, and the first thing I do is to deliver the prophecy. I say, "Lord, why you give it to me? Why not give it to Paul?" Huh? He's the prophet. Allah say, "No, you give it." And the Lord will not allow me to preach. The Lord will not allow me to teach. The Lord will not allow me to do anything until I have delivered the prophecy. And I didn't ask for these things. I don't seek for this thing. Neither do I seek for people to prophesy over me. Usually, when you're doing very well, you will have a lot of nice prophecies coming to you. Because people like to prophesy to a big man of God, implying that if I could prophesy to a big man of God, I'm also as big. Correct. You know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry will now have a prophecy for Ronnie Howard Brown. Because secretly, let's look at it in the flesh, it is us trying to be as big as them in the wrong way. It doesn't mean that if you have a prophecy for a big man of God, you have become as big as them. And it's easier to prophesy to a big man of God when everything is going very well. Why? Because it's easy to see what's going to happen next. Perception, not prophecy. There's no oom. Then the other time and place when a lot of people like to prophesy is when everything is going wrong. Correct? When you're having the hard times, when you're going through a difficulty, a fight, a faith, that's when you have some of the funniest prophecy people come. They prophesy doom, they prophesy destruction. It's easy to do that. Because everyone knows the difficulty is there. That's not God. That's not God. There is a human being. They are not moved or carried by the Spirit. They are carrying themselves. If God really carry us and bring that spirit of prophecy, it will have a certain oom. And it's limited by these areas here. it will be limited by the fact that it has to comfort, edify, and exhort. Some of you may have funny prophecies, rotten prophecies, and good prophecies altogether. How many have ever had wrong prophecies come to you? Can I see your hand? So few. I'm amazed. Well, the bigger you grow, the more funny things happen. On my birthday, some anonymous person who calls themselves God's servant write a very negative prophecy. Now, I receive negative things here and there, it doesn't move me. But I think it's very unkind to send it on a birthday. Don't you think so? That's not even Christian. Christians don't do things like that. And down and the fellow understand what being born again means. And he says, you know, the first thing I saw the first line, you think you're perfect. My family knows I never think that way. Those close to me knows I never think that way. You all know from the way I share, I never think that way on myself. How wrong a person can be. And the rest are all the negative things. My birthday present. It makes life interesting to have people like that. And you know how they end a letter? God's servant. So, it's anonymous. I slip it in one of my sermons here and there, you know. I sense that that person is a lady. The person doesn't know I also have revelation. And that person is not attending my church. And but one of my church people know them, and he's also a lady. The person doesn't know that. I do know. I can pick up things. But I slip it into one of the teachings, and I share. When we have a prophecy, and we don't have the guts to identify ourselves with a prophecy, it's unscriptural. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, let one prophesy. Let two or three prophets prophesy. But let the others what? Judge. Especially if you have a negative prophecy, correct? You cannot give it anonymously because you're saying you're not allowing yourself to be corrected. If positive, I mean, you know, it's still better to give it, you know, with your name attached to it. Or sometimes, you know, it's more because you don't want the person to know who you are and you have a very beautiful prophecy and you just give it. It's fine. It comes from as well. That is fine. But when a person prophesies and takes a position or does this a lot without being willing to be corrected, I think that's very dangerous. Hello there. And the does this a lot brings a responsibility and an awesomeness that we must respect. 1 Corinthians 14, when a person prophesies, let the others judge. We need to judge all prophecies. Which is why I'm willing, when I have a prophecy, let's say in Singapore 1992, I put it down, word for word, may edit a bit of the English, that's all, but it's basically what it is, and put my name there, submit myself to other prophets, national, international, who may want to correct me. Because there are some parts that talk about Mananka. Correct. We have to be open. Let two or three prophets prophesy and let the others judge, the others on the same category. We need to understand our precious prophecy. Now, let's look at another word in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Praise God. When I received that birthday present, I said, thank you, Lord. More reward in heaven. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And Paul says here, in talking about prophecy, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And then he goes in verse 10, verse 9, 10. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. There we have it. In part, we don't know all things. You can never depend on here. Your mind, your head, when you prophesy. Because sometimes it just boggles our mind. If the prophecy has to go through your understanding, it will not necessarily change anything. Because the things that need to be changed and they are powerful will possibly be already beyond the realm that you are in. If something is beyond the realm where you are in and you're bringing it forth, that's where it boggles you. If it's already within the realm that you are in and you understand it, what change has it made? It has to be beyond us so that we could, when it comes up, we don't understand it yet, but at least we see it there and we're moving into it. That is why God bypasses our mind to bring forth that prophecy. The most important thing is the conviction that you feel on your inside. And that conviction and sense of love. Whenever you prophesy, these are my personal observations, right? You must sense an awesome love on your inside. It protects you from judging people. If you have a prophecy from someone that you feel irritated about, someone you feel a little bit of anger about, someone you just don't like, I don't think you should prophesy to them. If you don't love them, don't give them a prophecy. Hello there. Get your heart right in God first. If you have a grudge against your brother, don't try to give a gift. Leave your gift on the altar and make yourself right with God first. You must always feel love for those you prophesy to, or those you give a message of tongues and interpretation. Because that love will protect you from error. And remember, prophetic errors are dangerous because it's breaking God's law of taking His name in vain. And whoever does it may not see the consequences immediately because of the mercy of God. But within the next 1 to 2 years, a person will pay the price for taking God's name in vain. Every wrong prophecy you utter, you will be judged on. Not by man, but God will bring you to destruction. It is taking God's name in vain. We must make sure we have the Make sure you have love in your heart. Love, love, love. And you sense this love that comes. And it can be a good prophecy. Let's say, let me give you one that I really receive very well. May I talk about good prophecy? Let's talk about prophecies that bring a little measure of attention or some measure of correction. Just to show you how it can work. Luis Manuel, you all know him? Good man, anointed brother of God. He knows me, he respects me greatly, and he's under the covering of our ministry, in a sense. One day the Lord gave him a prophecy for me. And so he struggled with it. He said, Lord, you know him, he hears you. What should I tell him? Lord said, no, you must go. He struggled with it for some time until he found a way how to sleep. And then he made an appointment and he came down to see me. I mean, you and I know he's already based in Sungai Petani up north. Now he's a very wonderful brother. Respect him. To sell all and move to Sungai Petani because the Lord tells him so is a tremendous thing. Don't you think so? And all his base is here. I mean, how many of you would sell all and move to Kuala Krai, which is in East Coast. Some far out town. I don't think they have McDonald's here yet. No big malls yet. Something like that, cowboy town. And I've been there before. And that's obedient. And so one day he makes an appointment, came down to see me. And he says, don't know how to tell you this. Because he has a prophecy that is, you know, it sounds a bit corrective, but it's not. And I said, Lord said, don't be selfish. Oh wait, that's not the end of the prophecy. I'm not a selfish person. you must care for the people in other towns. You must plant churches for them. And Lord says, don't think about the church here. And the Lord says, you must plant these churches. You must go to these places. You must plant the church. And he talked about Penang and some of these places. He talked about three cities. Mentioned Penang as one of them. And so he was very frightened in case fire from God come and burn him up. But then I said, Brother Mano, this is a very good prophecy. And he was very surprised. And he says, oh. Because I know how to humble myself in the Lord. He knows how to humble himself in the Lord. And we both are okay. We learn to walk in humility. And so it's a tremendous prophecy. And he was surprised at my response. I didn't get upset, didn't get angry. I said, praise God, this is tremendous. This is a good reminder to me of what God tells me to do. And I say, indeed, God has spoken to me about planting churches, but I'm waiting for the timing. I'm waiting for the people, and I will accept this and get myself willing to do so. But the Lord has to provide all the other infrastructure. And 1 year after that, which is this year, I think, or 1 year or several months after that, I forgot now whether it's last year or early this year. And I've been telling Pastor David and Pastor Paul, I said, look, it may be good to have the three of us help start a church there. Now, this was discussion before Louis Manuel came. And I said, it would be good to have some of the church because of all the breakup of the churches up there. I'm sure you hear about that. And they said, P9 is a strong spearhead church. The main spearhead church has now, you know, splintered. And there's literally no spiritual force going on. And so I said, look into that. And things don't seem to work in that area. So recently I've told some people, and I said, look, I'm already reading myself and prepared that if the Lord wants us to plant a church, although in so far as I've spoken before, I never planted churches. We encourage other people to plant churches, but we have never done it ourselves locally. I say that we must weigh the consequences. You see, many people understand that doing something is fast, but I always look at consequences. You always count the cost. If I ever to start a church and restart a church in Penang, which is very easy because I came from there and we have an organization there that we can just have it and straight away start. And it will affect all the rest of our convention. From then forward, people will be scared in every city to cooperate with us because they know we are capable of starting churches. I know that a church has started in Kota Kinabalu, but that was more we helping somebody else, not we directly doing it. And Pastor Bidham started. Although we stood by him, to storm or stones, we don't care. We know it's God's will. And part of my policy and principle in working with people in conventions is, as I said, I must find someone I could encourage before I go there. So that when I leave the place, that person is left behind. My Timothy. I mean, there are hundreds of places calling, but I don't go to all them. I want to stand by them. I want to stand by them in the fire, through the storm, because that's where I know the help is needed most. And it helps their ministry grow. It helps their churches grow. And so I said, we have to weigh a lot of consequences. I mean, a lot of smaller ministries don't realize what will happen. People say, oh, plant a church like that. They are not at our size. They don't understand what's happening. When we do it, it's going to affect the rest of conventions because people are going to be scared to cooperate with us. Correct? If we plant a church and they know that Pastor Peter's son's church there, he's a senior pastor too, and his co-workers are all Penang Knights. Think about the impact. If we go to Aloe Star, they'll be wondering when we're going to start a church there too. And they'll be very scared to cooperate with us, correct? And I had a meeting with Paul and David. I said, look, the Lord has been dealing in my heart, and this is what He's saying. And I told him, I said, look, in my own self, I don't want to do it because I know the consequences. I know we're going to have stones thrown at us, the Penang teachers are going to get mad and angry. And I say, then I said, secondly, that it's going to affect all the rest of our convention. We are now going to have a different approach. That means that wherever we go, we're going to look at church planting now, not so much as bringing the churches together. You understand what I mean? It affects people's mentality. If you're at that level, you understand what we're talking about. And so I said, I'm ready and I'm willing. And I want you to know that I sense that it may be the will of God. And they both look, oh, because they know what it's like. Say, Pastor David is being persecuted up there right now. They've been told not to go back again by those whom he is helping. And, kind of thing. And some of our best friends will misunderstand us. We got good friends up there. Thank God for His grace. And sometimes, you know, we go through all these things, and my heart is willing, and I say, if it's the Lord's will, I'm willing. And I will only do it because I know it's the Lord's will. I'll not do it for any other reason. But if it's the Lord's will, who can run from the Lord's will? I don't want to be a Jonah. Do you? And then I said, the only thing now is timing and infrastructure. The moment you get a signal, that's it. Who knows, it may change the entire face of how we do ministry in Malaysia, where we go and plant churches and some of you Bible students become our associate ministers out there. It may be a different realm. But I'm very careful. I don't want to move anything that's not God's will. And even if it's God's will, it must be God's time. Very strangely, the Penang situation has now slowly changed. And, well, I better don't go to more details. Okay. Where were we? Okay. Prophecy. And I was talking about Louis Manuel giving me some prophecy that looks corrective. But it was good. A wise man receives correction. Amen? And receive things that are direct. I like people to be direct. Because if they are direct, if they are wrong, I can correct them. And if they are right, you know, I can improve. It's a fool that doesn't receive correction. And we must always have an attitude of listening to one another. Praise God. A teachability. Hearing God. Confirming things. And so, of course, I'm just giving an illustration of the other reverse area of a prophecy, where when we walk in love, we are able to give things correctly, and it's good. Whenever you have bad news, or whenever you have something that is not good or corrective, you know what you should always do? Do it personally. Correct. Even as a pastor, you learn all these things. You don't do it through written thing, because in personal correction are the most hurtful. In my position, I've had to do a lot of correction of members, of people, of other men of God. Sometimes not easy. I got to tell them. I don't write to them what I think is wrong. Sometimes they are far away, all the way in New Zealand. To go personally and find a time and pray up and say, I love you and I need to be honest with you. I think God is telling you to do this. Correct? I mean, sometimes, and I know, long ago, I'm the type who may keep quiet. But I realize my spiritual responsibility that if no one corrects, who will? And if you love a person and you know they are doing the wrong thing that may destroy them, don't you think you need to do something? And I've done that before on the reverse, and there's a particular pastor in another country. And he used to lead the worship and preach at the same time. I preached in his church twice. And I know that was not fully right. And after the lunch and all this thing, and I said, look, I need to tell you this because nobody may dare to tell you and tell you. I said, I believe the Lord wants you to stop doing that and just concentrate on preaching and teaching. I said, can you please pray about it? I didn't say, thus says the Lord, burn the guitar, leave the music ministry, concentrate on preaching. No, I give it in a la lesso is sharing. Brother, I'm going to tell you this. Isn't this a better way?
Yes.
Then you say, thus says the Lord, you know, and you give a negative thing. We must learn to walk in love. Walk in love. Love and love surrounds us. People can receive the correction. Before I correct somebody, I must make sure I feel for them. I feel their hurts. I feel their desires. I feel their goals. I feel what they want to do in life. And I become a part of them. And then I can correct them with the motive of helping them. Love is important. La lesa. You don't always announce. Good news you can announce. Things are a bit more corrective, please share. And although the Lord may be revealing those things, I don't give it in the sense of a prophecy. When the end result is the same. You have love. Secondly, wow. I didn't realize that. Sorry. I must apologize and ask your forgiveness. I didn't realize the time. I didn't realize it. I keep looking at my watch and I keep seeing the needle on the same point, haven't reached a halfway mark yet. I didn't know we had gone one whole round and it was too late. I didn't look at the big, the small hand. I was looking at the big hand all the time. I'm waiting for it to reach the middle and give you the break. I didn't realize I'd gone a whole round. I'm sorry. Okay. And we have what we call the You must have the when you prophesy. The must come out bigger than you. Based on, you say, what scripture based on that? On the word Pharaoh that we found in 2 Peter chapter 1 earlier on. There must be a certain anointing and an that is there that enables us to be able to prophesy. No don't use that says the Lord. Because when you use that says the Lord, you're actually saying, the Lord told me to tell you this. If the Lord didn't tell you to tell you that, you're lying. You're lying. What happened is, if I came to Sister Nora Marsh and says, Kenneth said this about you. And if that's true, I must also watch what to say. But if that's false, I've implicated Kenneth. Especially if something negative. We use somebody else's name in vain. And when we prophesy and use that says the Lord, and there's no and God didn't really say, let me tell you, anything that God says has an When God says, there is always an all heaven and earth moves when He speaks. Read the book of Psalms, what His voice does. There is a tremendous so loud like a sonic boom, so powerful that it radiates from the whole galaxy. There has to be an in God's say. You see, if it's so loud, then why do we have to repeat it to people? Because the world is in sin, it doesn't hear God. And the devil has blocked their hearing. Therefore, we were the mediums of vessels that God used to bring the Word of God to them. The important understanding of that area. Praise God. I must apologize. give you the break. We'll just shift the times a bit and adjust, all right? Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. Thank You that You continue to establish us. We ask, O God, that You would cause us to grow in a realm of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Help us, O Lord, to move into the realms that you want us to move into. Lord, we know all the nine gifts of your Spirit are available to each one of us. We pray, God, that you will establish us in your word, in your gifts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.